You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill for Saturday the 17th of February. We've got a fantastic fair coming up on Saturday. Grade 1 action. It's live on Racing Radio from 12:30. James Milman, Kevin O'Malley and John Budden will be in the studio. Ascot, Haydock, Wincanton and Lingfield through the afternoon. Kempton on the all-weather for the Saturday night racing. And I mentioned we've got a Grade 1 coming up, the Ascot Chase. That comes up at 3:35. Ascot and Haydock, the two high five meetings of us here at William Hill. But for now on the podcast, my name's John Gibby. Delighted to be joined in the studio by Ollie Bimlock.
Hello, Jimmy, Ollie. It's a pleasure to be here. You're clean shaven today.
I am indeed.
I don't think I've ever seen you clean shaven.
I've started clean shaving probably about 3 weeks ago for the first time in years.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a look I'm trying out. So you still got the stubble yourself?
I do, but that's taken me, 6 months to grow.
I see. You don't want to give up on that then?
No. And, I was just getting tired, very bored of getting ID'd everywhere where I'm nearly 30 years of age. So I thought, just stick with it.
Well,
I'm saving on razors anyway.
Yeah, well, that is the one thing I've discovered over the past few weeks. Hopefully, I can find some money to fund my razor fund on Saturday, and hopefully you can give me a couple of bets to help me out with that, Ollie. I've mentioned we've got Grade 1 action in the form of the Ascot Chase, and this is a much more competitive renewal of the race than we've seen in some recent years. There's not really a really short price one they all have to beat.
Of course, Q-Card, we've got to start with him, because he won the race last year, and yet 9-1, you can get on him, Paddy Brennan. Back in the saddle, Harry Cobden has to go to Wincanton to ride for Paul Nicholls. And yeah, he's 9-1 Q Card, but if we're honest, he's not quite the force of old, is he? And his jumping, I think, is getting worse as we get along here. He does tend to guess at a few.
Four of his last four starts.
Yeah, he's still a very good horse, but he's not quite as good as he was. So 9-1 he is, but he wouldn't be for me. Coney Island, I think it was one of the biggest overreactions of the season of his win at Ascot last time. He beat a horse last time. I mean, he beat Adrian De Point, who went off like a cat out of hell last time we saw him. He was tailed off with half a mile to go, but Adrian De Point had gone so quick, Sam Twiston Davies pretty much been run away with, that he fell in a heap and he was made to look far more impressive than he actually was. I'll be definitely looking to take Coney Island on here. I think he's far too short. When we have the William Hill match bets tomorrow, the pro race card.
Yes.
I'll be looking at waiting patiently in a match to beat him. Interestingly enough, is money for waiting patiently, isn't there? Second season's chaser. Obviously, we had a great day with Cyrus Darius winning yesterday for the Jefferson team, the first winner since poor old Malcolm died. And it would be a fitting winner, wouldn't it, if Waiting Patiently could win this. Very exciting.
And the horse is so unexposed over fences.
Yeah, unbeaten over fences. 5 from 5, quick and clear to beat Art Morris by 8 lengths at Kempton last time. He looks absolutely top class. But I am probably number one member of the Top Notch fan club.
Ooh.
Big, huge fan of Top Notch.
Big statement.
I think he still goes underrated, this horse, because he didn't do anything flashy. He doesn't jump over, massively exuberantly. He's just a very good horse. Didn't start the season particularly well. Was third as third behind, Harry, but that was over hurdles back at Aintree. Since then, 2 from 2 over hurdles, beat Josses Hill in double shuffle. We all know that form has been significantly franked since.
Especially with double shuffle.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, in the King George. Wasn't the greatest King George at all time. Arguably, double shuffle was a little bit fortunate to finish where he did. But the form has been well franked. I mean, look at his form behind York Hill at the festival last year, behind the likes of Flying Angel, beat Baron Alco at Sandown. Every single time he goes to the races, this horse, he puts in a good effort. And he's 1 from 1 at the track. He was very, very... I would say that was his best performance of his career last time. If you're a speed figure man, he did a 1.43 on that occasion. That's the best speed figure he's done in his career over fences on his penultimate start at Ascot, where, of course, that double shuffle form has been significantly franked.
And so, he beat Frode on that day as well.
Yeah. Okay, again, we all know what Froden has done. Flying Angel, of course, won at the Aintree Festival last year. Smad Place has been retired since. But coming into that race, Smad Place has won. And then, of course, Josses Hill was second behind him the time after that. So it was a good race at Ascot. I think that was a career best from him. Back to Ascot here today. I think he ranks as a good favourite. I think he's going to be very difficult to beat. But if I was coming to this fresh, if I wasn't, you know, don't want the 2-1, I would just back waiting patiently to beat Coney Island. I'm not buying that Coney Island run at Ascot at all last time. And I couldn't believe, you know, people on Twitter were raving. You know, it was being cut left, right and centre for the Gold Cup. Yeah. I just think it was a huge overreaction.
He's been beaten by Arduke 2 starts ago. I know that was a long time ago, but that form hasn't exactly worked out that well this season.
No, Arduke's a good horse. Obviously, we know he's had his kissing spine problems. It's a good run behind Ahmed Annabelle Fly, a good run behind Bells Hill. You've also got as well Jimmy Gibney, the chance of a bounce here. That was his first run for very slightly under a year.
Would you be a believer in the bounce factor?
I don't think it's a myth.
You get people coming out.
I suppose,
you know,
he's not turned out particularly quickly. He's had what, 6 weeks, but even so, I would say, you know, I'd be looking to take on Coney. I may well come back into the studio in a few days' time, whenever I do my next podcast, and he could be one of the favourites for the Gold Cup after tomorrow. But I'm just not buying that run at Ascot last time when he beat Adrian de Point at all.
So we're keeping it nice and simple.
Nice and simple. Top notch will win. And I think waiting patiently, we will have the pro race card tomorrow, waiting patiently to beat Coney Island. It'll be a shade of odds on.
If you're going to beat back top notch as well, maybe wait. I wouldn't be shocked if waiting patiently goes our favourite for this.
Not the way the market's shaping. 11-4 into 9-4 and top notch going the other way. Opened at 15-8 out to 2-1 at time of recording. So yeah, wouldn't be surprised. And there is money for Coney Island. He opened at 7-2, now 11-4. So.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how this works out. The Ascot Chase 3:35 commentary live on William Hill's Racing Radio. And our other High Five meeting on Saturday, the other big meeting of the day, it's a Haydock for the Grand National Trial. The feature race goes off at 3:15, and the Antipost favourite for the big race at Aintree itself is Blackline. He heads the betting here 9-4 at time of recording, aren't he?
I think this is the national winner, Jimmy.
Ooh, big statement this far out.
Myself and Alistair Jones, formerly of the White House Variety.
Yes, indeed.
I've been banging on about Black Lion since his run last year in the National, where just made too much use of him, didn't they?
Mm.
Ridden a little bit more patiently this year. He was a very, very impressive winner of the Beecher Chase last time we saw him. He's likely to get very similar conditions as well tomorrow. It's going to be bottomless at Haydock, as it always is at this time of year. He's got a lot of weight to carry, admittedly, hasn't he? 11-12 on this ground. Sammy Twiston rides, who you presume is going to ride him in the National now, takes over from Gavin Sheehan, who's ridden him the last twice. I just think he's better than these. I think he's not quite Gold Cup class, but he's just below that.
Yeah.
I think he's better than these. I think he's the National winner, and I think he wins tomorrow.
He was beaten in this race last year off 1.52.
He was, but this year, I think he's been a better horse.
Yeah.
You know, he got beaten the Charlie Hall by Bristol Demai. We all know Bristol Demai loves the Charlie Hall, and then he goes to Haydock and wins every year. That was a very good run. And he absolutely sluiced up from a very good yardstick in the last Samurai finishing second. We know he stays, we know he jumps, we know he goes on the ground. The one slight worry is the weight.
Yeah.
And there is an unexposed one here in Wild West Wind who takes him on.
I love Wild West Wind.
Tell me about him, John.
I'm a big fan of Wild West Wind. So basically, he was running in a lot of slightly... Not quite the top grade novice contest last year. Long trips, mostly in the mud. Absolutely loving it, doing very well. He beat the Bay Oak at Hereford about a year ago. Also, sadly now passed away, but he was a really good yardstick. And he fell in the Welsh National when he was travelling supremely well. And I'll tell you what, that was the only bad jump he put in. It was down the back the last time. That was the only bad jump he put in the entire race. He was travelling like the winner. I'm not just saying that because he was carrying my money. I think off 10 stone 9, he is going to give Flatline plenty to think about.
Yeah, he is. You say he doesn't have that much carry. Beat Alfie Spinner, of course, was subsequently second in the Welsh National, making it 3 wins, 4 of offences. He was going well in the Welsh National since when falling. Got a lot of ticks in the right boxes, Wild West Wind. But I'm top notch, but I think Flatline is up there as well in my fan club. These are actually two of our favourite horses in training. Running on the same day.
Running the same day, within 20 minutes of each other. They're both favourites.
The Black Lion top-notch double, it's got to be, John.
Brilliant. You're putting a quick mention for anything else in there? The Dutchman is, I've also heard a few people talking about, and a couple of old favourites, Mystery, horses like that.
Yeah, the Dutchman, he was a decent novice chaser last term, obviously a second season chaser now. Been running in handicap hurdles of late. Won the Peter Marsh last time, of course, last month here at Haydock. My worry about that is they turned him out pretty quickly, John.
Yeah.
And the Peter Marsh, he's slobbed through the mud, hasn't he, on that occasion. He's absolutely slobbed through it. And the handicap has certainly had his say as well. He's got an official rating of 148. He's put him up £13 for that win.
That's hefty.
It's very hefty. I think too hefty for me. And he's on the back of that, admittedly won the Peter Marsh. Good to see Danny Cook getting a ride in a big race like this. Of course, the owners, he used to ride this for the owners, and he's back on board the Dutchman.
Is that why he's riding? Because he's not a jockey I would necessarily associate with Colin
Tizard. His first ride ever for Colin Tizard,
really?
If I'm not mistaken. But he did used to ride the horse when it was with Sandy Thompson.
Right.
So with Harry Cobden unavailable, retained at Wincanton for Paul Nicholls, Danny Cook's got the leg up. No better jockey riding in the north for me than Danny Cook, so very able replacement.
Not even Brian Hughes?
Possibly Brian Hughes, but I would, if I had the pick of Danny Cook or Brian Hughes, either one wouldn't.
Yeah, you'd be happy either way.
Yeah, I'd be happy either way.
And you'd be happy with Black Line in the Grand National Trial?
Correct.
Fantastic. So, those are your two bets for Saturday. A couple of other races we should give a quick mention to. 205 at Haydock, the Rendlesham is... race, which is supposedly a trial for the Stayers Herd, although it doesn't often really turn out that way. Agrapart, at time of recording, the odds on favourite at 4-6. A horse who has made a bit of a career at turning up in sort of grey twos in mud and winning.
Yeah. Lizzie Kelly retains the ride. She gets on really well with Agrapart. He's not sexy in anything he does. He's just a grinder. And perhaps he goes a little bit underrated for that, but he's not gone underrated in the market, has he, John? 4-6. Zarkander, of course, won the race last year, but he was disappointing on his return in the handicap hurdle here in November. But he ran poorly on a couple of runs last term, and then he came alive here to win this race last season. 8-1 into 11-2, you probably just missed the value there. I'm going to go with Bwat, though. The wind operation seems to have worked the oracle with this horse. He won at Taunton Handicap last month, came clear unchallenged. This is a lot deal tougher, and he does have to prove his stamina. But with, question marks over Donna's Diamond and Zarkander, Bwat, having had that wind operation, looks a different proposition. He might well be the one to be on here around about 4-1 at time of recording.
Fantastic. Bwat then in the 205 at Haydock, the Rendlesham hurdle. And the men's walking race at Ascot, the 150, is the Reynolds Town Novices Chase. And we see Black Corton, of course, won the Cordo Star Grade 1 over Christmas, come back for his, well, I believe it's his first run since, with Bryony Frost retaining the ride. It's indeed his first run since. He's 11-10, short enough in the betting. Good to see Bryony Frost retain the ride.
Yeah, she does. And how well has she done this season? I think this has been a season, John, where it's been more about the jockeys than the horses. We've not had a superstar, but we've had superstars emerge, such as James Bowen and Bryony Frost. I think it's been more stories about people than horses.
Yeah, especially up-and-comers.
Yeah, and Bryony Frost just been a revelation this year. Winner 7 times, this horse, Black Corton, and he sort of propelled her onto the big stage. One of a couple of horses who's done that. Career best last time when winning the Corto Star Novices Chase at Kempton. It's a good bit of place in this. Only got 3 other rivals to beat. Big fan of the Jefferson Yard. We've already mentioned that today. I think they can have another winner here with Mount Muse. It was a good hurdler. Slightly disappointing when beaten at Doncaster last time, but he wasn't knocked about when beaten. I think if he can bounce back to some of his hurdles form, certainly this son of presenting should be a better chaser than hurdler. I think he can give Black Corton something to worry about. Perhaps Mount Muse without the favourite tomorrow might be the way in there. Miss Parfois, we should mention this one, because this is another one on a tremendous run of form. Has won its last 3. Won a listed chase at Warwick last time we saw it. Another one with huge potential going forward. But I think it might have just got to its upper echelons now, whereas I don't think we've quite seen the best of Mount Muse over fences. So 150 Ascot, the Reynolds Town Novices Chase, a Grade 2. Do think Black Corton's going to take an awful lot of beating, but I'll play Pro Race Card. and I'll go Mount Muse without Black Courtney. So Mount Muse without the Fav.
You're loving the pro race car today, Ollie.
Company man, John Gibby.
Yeah, well, good. You're pushing the line. Remember, you can find all
Mr.
those
Mr. Phelps, our boss, back in the office today.
Yeah.
Company line.
Indeed. He said to us before we go in, boys, you better be mentioning that pro race card or there'll be trouble.
There'll be trouble.
And, yeah, well, make sure you check out all the markets available on williamhill.com for all of Saturday's racing. You can hear it all live on William Hill Racing Radio. And anything else to mention, Ollie, or you covered all bases?
Tomorrow will be soon in the future known as top-notch Black Lion Day.
Will it? Not just by you, by everyone?
By everyone.
Fantastic. Well, that's good to know. Top betting advice from Ollie Pimlott, who goes for top-notch and Black Lion. This is two that supposedly can't be beaten on Saturday. Let's find out if that works out for him on Racing Radio live on Saturday afternoon. Ollie, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Not quite sure those words came out of my mouth, John, but thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.